Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200. Now, it's time for Need to Know Basis.
Welcome back. AJ Jakubek, Graham Creech, Matt Conosvita. This is the drive on TSN 1200. Here's what you need to know today. Kevin Durant has delivered an ultimatum to Nets ownership saying he wants a trade unless GM Sean Marks and head coach Steve Nash are fired. Good luck with that. Meantime, Carlton playing tonight, 7 o'clock against Florida State. As they played Northeastern on the weekend. Some hockey notes. The Bruins have signed both Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci to one-year contracts. Boston Kraus has inked a 5-year deal with Arizona worth $21.5 million. It's a 5-year extension for Nicholas Waugh in Vegas. AAV of $3 million a year there. And World Juniors pre-tournament action tonight. Canada takes on Sweden. They open the tournament Wednesday. And you can hear that right here on TSN 1200. And that is what you need to know today. All right, we'll get back to the text. 1200. By the way, did you want my take on what I said on Twitter today? You wanted to ask about that?
Oh, yeah. Speaking I hadn't seen it before, and during our first segment, I was just kind of scrolling, looking for news, anything I missed, and I was like, oh, here's AJ quote tweeting someone trolling him.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. So this is a soccer-related tweet, and
you just needed good ref to push you in this direction.
No, I'm not going to get mad at this guy. Look, but he's a guy who's outside the market. And basically saying, are we allowed to chirp this hot take yet? And I said, thanks for killing soccer in Ottawa, Vic Montagliani. That was back in 2019, November 7th, when the Fury died. And so I came back, hot take. He did kill it. I'm not going to revisit an issue that beat down the Ottawa soccer community with an outsider who doesn't give a crap about our city. I might not have used crap. Thankfully, Atletico Ottawa and Jeff Hunt stepped up, and the sport is thriving again. Simple as that. I mean, you know what? I don't want to revisit. Look, there's a lot of scabs, right? People lost their jobs. People lost their livelihood when that happened. And so, look, we went through it. Graham Ivory and I, numerous corner kick shows, talked about the blame pie, and there was blame pie all the way around. Not going to be talking crap about Oseg today, who probably deserved the slightest piece of the pie there. Though my complaints at the time on Oseg were that they probably should have seen this coming a few years earlier, right? That, you know, Victor Montagliani didn't mean they had to go in CPL's direction. They didn't believe in the business model. Then why should they go in that direction? So they tried to go a different way. They really tried to go hard a different way. And in the end, Victor Montagliani was saying no. And, you know, Canada Soccer was doing their thing. And Canadian Premier League was doing their thing. And it hurt a lot of people. People lost their jobs. People lost their livelihoods. People were torn apart about the Fury leaving town. You know, there's a lot of Canadian players on that team. And when I talked to investors, because I talked to multiple people that had or were interested in investing in soccer, and I talked to a couple, and they said they had no interest in investing in this market because they felt it was a poison market because of what had happened and the bitterness surrounding the Canadian Premier League and Oseg and Canada Soccer and Vic Montagliani and all that nonsense that happened when the Fury died. A lot of hurt feelings. And some people are still not over it. But in the end, Atletico Madrid stepped up. Jeff Hunt stepped up. And they brought soccer back. And so there we were a year later with pro soccer in Ottawa, even though it was being played in PEI when I was in the bubble there. And I'm not going to go over revisionist history every couple of years because of some debates that were going on then, but the same debates, like how close were you following Krejcer, the Canadian men's player strike when they didn't play. So they had the game against Iran that was canceled.
Yeah.
And they had the game against Panama that was postponed. And that was canceled eventually, right?
Yeah.
And eventually, like, we're talking about something that is still unresolved with Canada Soccer business, with Canada Soccer, and the men's and women's national team players. And a lot of that, the genesis of that, goes back to, you know, the business plan and 2019 and where soccer in this country is headed. And look, can rip off the Band-Aid again and bring up old wounds, but it's not going to be productive for anyone. I just want to see soccer go forward in this country. I just want to see soccer go forward in this city. And to see and experience 6,500 plus yesterday in the storm, Letico victory, all that type of stuff, it feels like the corner has been turned again. And that's thanks to Jeff Hunt, Atletico Madrid, and Atletico Ottawa, and certainly our supporters groups as well. Capital City Supporters Group, tremendous job. Bytown Boys have been there since, you know, before the Fury days, since Capital City FC. So to me, it's not productive to keep going down that road, but there are jerks outside this market that I don't care about that are going to bring crap like this up.
That guy was sitting on that for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, obviously, like, and nothing like sitting on a tweet for a while and thinking, like, you're clever, and you get 15 likes, and then you get put in your place. Like, all right, glad you're sitting there for 3 years. A lot's happened in 3 years. Like, I sat in the hospital for 69 days over the course of that time since I put that tweet out. I don't give a rat's ass about this guy, okay? Like, simple as that.
I've got a Ottawa soccer-related question for you that's going to put you in a better mood.
Okay, love it.
And it'll give you the opportunity to give somebody a plug. Where should I watch Canada play during the World Cup?
It's a great question. While you're pondering that, let's take caller 15 at 750-1200. Because we're going to give away some Ottawa Titans tickets to the game August 11th against the New York Boulders. Titans Boulders, August 11th. Taking caller 15 now, 750-1200. Where to go? You know what?
Like, and I'm talking where to go in terms of fan experience here.
I think better to tell you in November.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I would think there's going to be some pretty passionate soccer spots. Like Glebe Central Pub is kind of the home of the Atletico supporters. I know a lot gather at Senate Tavern, and there's three of them now, right? I think a lot of them gather on the one on Bank. But I think, you know, there will be it's going to be wild, right?
Well, that's like, I can't, and as you know, like, soccer is down the list in terms of following, like, the sports that I follow, and not because of any particular aspect of the game. It's just I have a bunch of things I follow, and it's down the list, and I don't have a rooting interest for the most part. But as you know, you got me into the World Cup qualifying in the early stages, like, not just in that final stage where they were playing the Americans and the Mexicans, and you knew that they were about to qualify. Like, you got me, it was probably in 2020-ish when you got me into following it. So I really want to take that in from a perspective of like a hardcore soccer nut, like somebody who loves the beautiful game and follows, not just because they're going to be in the World Cup, but follows at all times.
Yeah, I think you'll have to wait till November just to see exactly where some of the Canada supporters, like, I'm guessing there will be voyageurs parties at various places. I mean, two of the games are midweek, right? So they'll be during the day, but one of the games is on a weekend, on a Saturday. So Yeah. TBD, I'll tell you right now. How about that? Take a couple more texts here. This one says, I've been a fan since the 70s. I want a team that's good for three or four seasons at least. Is a Grey Cup favorite. Playoffs, who cares? They're not winning. The last great Ottawa football team had Tom Clements and Condridge Holloway at quarterback. See, I disagree with this. Like you have to appreciate what you have. And you can't deny that the four-year stretch from 2015 to 2018 had some really good football teams. And at times, they were frustrating, yes, as well. They went 8-9-1 in back-to-back years, but that was the worst of it. In those four seasons, they won 43 games, they tied two, they went to three Grey Cups, they won one, they had a 12-win season, they had an 11-win season. We can't just say, oh, well, it's 14-4 or bust. The 12-win team, no Ottawa football team has won more than the 12-win team in 2015 when they went to the Grey Cup. So I'm going to vehemently disagree with your text. 43 wins, two ties, one Grey Cup win, three Grey Cup appearances is a pretty good four-year stretch. The last 3 years, awful. I get it. There's not much to write home about the last 3 years. But pretty cool four-year stretch. There are a lot of fun nights coming out of TD Place.
Big time.
In those days. I mean, man, 2015 alone, I think of, you know, the first home win against Calgary, winning in overtime, Delbert Alvarado. They're putting Delbert on their shoulders. You know, even the game against Toronto, which was Toronto's home game, one of the best games I've ever broadcast, period. They lost 38-35. Chad Holmes makes a one-handed catch in the end zone in the last minute to win it for the Argos. They had a thrilling game against Hamilton that year. That was towards the end of the season that helped wrap up first place in the division. And, of course, second and 25. I knew you would say that. I agree, but we have never had a team like Winnipeg and the 80s Edmonton team. Well, no one's had a team like the 80s Edmonton team. They won five straight for a reason. Those teams, that's like complaining that you want a Stanley Cup and saying you don't have a team like the 80s Oilers or Islanders or the Tampa Bay Lightning that won 11 straight playoff series. You know what? That doesn't happen very often. That's one of the best teams of all time. Anyways, I appreciate the text. Let's just get back to winning some games. You know, yeah. We're complaining about a four-year stretch where they won 43 games, went to three Grey Cups, and won one. People would be dying. People don't even want, that's the thing. There's a lot of people that say, I just want a mediocre football team. That's what I saw on the weekend. I just want to see a mediocre football team.
Well, that was my feeling coming into the season. After all the moves that were made, my optimism was through the roof, and I thought, I wasn't saying they were going to win the division, but I was like, at least I'm very confident that they should be around 500, and they should be in games. We're not going to see games where they go an entire half without making a first down, and it's just going to be two and out the entire game. And now you're looking at 1-7, and it hasn't been that way. There are lots of games that they've been in. And of course, the injury to Jeremiah Masoli is devastating, and they probably have a better record than they do if he's healthy. But once again, we're talking about a team that's 1-7.
Couple more texts here. Big Rick chimed in earlier. AJ, I see eye to eye with pretty much everything you say, and I respect the fact that you aren't going to call for a firing, but it's time for change. Seeing pass back plays on second and down and waiting too long to get Arbuckle in is just not showing me the desperation to try anything to win. This team did a lot to become a winner again. And yes, they've been dealt a bad hand with injuries, but show me that you're doing everything you can to win. That's from Big Rick. Yeah. I mean, the one play call that really, look, I'm not a play call guy. Everyone's got issues with play calling all the time, it seems, right? I played 3 years of Pee Wee and Bantam football. I don't profess to be a football expert beyond the fact that I played it a little bit. And I've watched it my whole life. CFL, NFL, college football, whatever. I love the game. But I don't profess to be an X and O's expert. I did not like specifically the call on second and three when Nick Arbuckle got put into the game and they ran the ball on first down. They got 7 yards. Okay, fine and dandy. First play for Arbuckle to run at 7 yards, whatever. Then on second and three, the jet sweep was a bad call. If you run the ball again on second and three and, you know, straight handoff north, south, Powell, if he gets stopped after you get a yard, well, you can go for it. But that jet sweep was not a good call. In my, I don't say that very often. I don't overjudge play calling offensively, defensively. You're gonna be criticized when things go poorly. You're gonna be praised when things go well. And guess what? You're criticized a lot more, rightfully so, because things aren't going well on the offensive side of the ball. But that was one I didn't like for sure. Either short pass or run the ball north south again. So, yeah, no, look, I'm listening. The thing that I'm saying here is, again, I'm not calling for a firing, but I'm listening. And I do think it's a discussion. I do think you can't put your head in the sand and say, no, not a chance. We're going with what we're going with, and you're wrong. I don't think that way. I think when you're 1-7 to start the season with a team that should be better than what they are, and yeah, some of the breaks have gone against you. Injuries have gone against you, especially you're the only team in the league that's lost their starting quarterback. And you lost it in dubious circumstances because of a clown show with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So that stings. It's tough to swallow. But you were 0-4 before that, right? So you've put yourself in a tough spot. I like the fact that he's backing his head coach. It's one of those spots where we could be looking back in a few weeks and saying, well, it's a good thing they decided not to make the change. Or we could be saying after the Edmonton game, why didn't you make the change? They lost to a bad Elks team. Unacceptable, right? So there's pros and cons each way. There's pros and cons each way. And yeah, it's, look, when you're 1-7, there's not a lot to be positive about, unfortunately, other than the fact that, you know, Dave Naylor tweeted this out yesterday, and I'm missing three games, but they won. Like, he tweeted out about how the total net offense for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, they're plus one on the season. They're 9-0, and they're plus one in net offense, which is unheard of for a 9-0 team. Ottawa won that battle two of the three games before I did the stats. I'm just missing the first three. They're minus 88 in the last five games in terms of net offense. And I know they won net offense against Winnipeg both weeks and lost it against BC. So they're probably right around the zero mark as well. Goes to show how close the margin is in terms of winning and losing. But the reality is for two of the games, they haven't been close at all. And one of those games was last week against the Stampeders because the offense stunk. All right, we'll take our break because when we come back, oh, it's a special version of the Leftover Five on the Drive. We got the okay from Lever Sage. We're making a change. Oh, the leftovers stand. But we're making a change. You'll hear about it when we come back. This is The Drive on TSN 1200.
It's time for the Leftover Five on the Drive, a fun look at weird and wacky happenings in the world of sports, brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue.
All right, it's the Leftover Five on the Drive, brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue, and yes, at least for the week, we need Lever Sage approval on the song, but for the week, we've got approval on a new song. We needed a reason to ditch Mambo number 5.
I don't know if I've ever seen AJ more excited for anything than he's been for this new Leftover 5 song.
Oh, I love the intro.
I've I saw an animated version of AJ in the green room today, but it was for a different reason. We were having this conversation. We had a call before the show, and he's like, anything else you want to hit on other than the things that we had discussed? I'm like, oh, we gotta talk about Diaz walkout music, and maybe we could expand that into a bigger con. And like in the middle of my sentence, he's like, yeah, oh, that's the new leftover music. Here's the idea. Let's do this. I'm sick of Mambo. And I'm like, I've been sick of Mambo for like 4 years. So I'm endorsing that idea. So, and then he comes in to explain it in the green room, and he does the same kind of dance he just did in studio, minus the instrument. But it was because there was a wasp in and around in your shirt or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's still in the green room under a cup or something. But AJ was freaking out. So I've seen him do this dance twice today, but they were, one was out of fear and the other one was out of pure joy.
So are we all okay with this music? Like, I feel like...
Dude, 1,000,000%.
Okay, number one, Mambo number 5 needs to go. I think we all agree with that, right? Like, it's had its time. It had a good run. Like, needed to go. No, I'm not saying this is for 2 years or 5 years. Maybe it's only for 2 months. Maybe it's for the summer. Then we go to something else. Maybe it's for a week. Maybe Lever Sage hates this song. And then we go to something else. I don't know. This to me, seeing Diaz come out, and I had no idea. By the way, hat tip to Matt Wilson, equipment guy for the Ottawa Red Blacks. And before that, similar role with Atletico Ottawa. He was in the bubble. That's where we first got to meet. Second bubble in Winnipeg. And I saw him tweet about this, and I'm like, this is amazing. This is the best sports intro that I've seen in a while. And everyone's getting up and everyone's like fake trumpeting like me in the studio. Like Lever Sage, the one thing, you know this, Matt Conosfida. Lever Sage is always nervous about the 5 o'clock fade from AJ Jakubek. He worries about the 5 o'clock fade.
It's true.
Doesn't come very often anymore.
Did you include but, that in you trying to sell this?
No, I have not. But if you want to
avoid... There's another chip you can play.
If you want to avoid... If you want to continue potentially having a 5 o'clock fade, like keep playing Mambo number 5 for years and years to come and bore the tears out of me. But if you want to get rid of the 5 o'clock fade, how about that song?
Love. Do you know what the song's song. Called?
What is the song?
Narco. Huh. By Blaster Jacks and Timmy Trumpet.
Love Timmy Trumpet.
And clearly you never played trumpet because your air trumpet is more like an air trombone.
I know.
You've been watching too much of
Treme.
Antoine Batiste.
Yeah.
The bunk playing his bone. But your energy is certainly up. I'm worried about the 5:35 fade after you jump around the studio as Timmy Trumpet.
Well, I'm going to be Timmy Trumpet basically until we decide we're not playing that. Best, if you have a better sports intro out there, like you had Wild Thing for, what was it, Ricky Vaughn?
Yeah, Enter Sandman Major for Mariano League. Rivera.
Yeah. Like certainly relievers generally have the best music along with like boxers and MMA fighters. I can't really think of anybody else who has great.
Kenny Powers, Real American, yeah. When he's playing down in Mexico. That was a pretty excellent entrance song as well for a relief pitcher.
Like, there's entrance songs for teams, right? You know, football,
what's the college
basketball.
Football one where it's the super, super famous college football? Is that also Enter Sandman?
That would be Virginia Tech, where they do Enter Sandman.
And, like, it like registers on the Richter scale because all the fans are so into it.
Alex says Timmy Trumpet is the best. He's been slinging bangers for years. Glad to see it at the forefront. You know what? That's my story today. Simple as that. Like, there is no better sports intro right now than that one. Greg in Riverside South says, bring back Mambo number 5. Said no one ever.
One person. Kevin in Bell's Corners loves his Mambo number 5.
Kevin's going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, you know what, Kevin?
Kevin will like this, though.
Kevin, you got to get behind this, Kevin. I can see, Kevin, I had a chance to run into Kevin last week at the game. Kevin, you're doing the air trumpet right now at home in Bell's Corners. Tell me you're not doing the air trumpet, Kevin. Dennis says, what about Lee's WWF guys? He seems to like that music. That he does. I mean, don't get me wrong, a little NWO coming in.
Oh, whenever I produce, which isn't too often anymore, but if I'm producing and Lee's hosting, I'll play two WWF songs during that. Usually it'll be coming in to one segment, and I'll surprise him with it, and then I'll go to break with it. But not for Leftover.
And I love the Mets mascots. With their trumpets there, too, when Diaz comes out. Both of them just blown away. Like, now I need a trumpet. I feel like I need...
Or a trombone.
Like, I'm watching Treme. I feel like I need a trumpet and a trombone.
We can start calling you Kermit.
Whatever works.
Kermit, the trumpet player, who's a legit New Orleans musician who shows up in the show regularly. I'm late in season two now. You might have passed me this weekend. I had a busy weekend. I didn't watch a whole bunch.
Episode through seven episodes.
Yeah, so we might be in about the same spot.
A great show. Love Treme. You seen Treme?
No.
Okay, so you're a big Wire guy. I know that.
Yeah.
Same guy, David Simon, does a show.
Oh, I think you or somebody was telling me about this.
I know it's one of our former colleague Dave Gross's favorite shows of all time. Grossy spent a lot of time down in New Orleans, and I know it's one of his absolute favorites. So
I'll have to write that down.
He was on the Treme train long before me.
Starts a little slow the first couple of episodes, but love it. Again, no main character. Main character is the city, just like The Wire.
Just speaking of The Wire and shows, the latest show that I just got into last night, actually, was Blackbird. I don't know if you've seen it. It's Apple TV or Apple Plus or whatever. Robert Ray Wisdom is in the show. I don't know. I'm only two episodes in, so I don't know how long he's in the show for. But he was Bunny Colvin in The Wire.
Yeah.
Love Bunny Colvin. Amsterdam.
Great shows. By the way, Tony C. writes, damn you, fellas. Cutting up some beef tenderloin here in the kitchen. Dancing to that trumpet. Thanks, from Tony C. Love that trumpet.
It's incredible.
We just need full unanimity on the show. We need.
Like, I think Lever's in.
We have no idea where Lee's going to go on this. I have no idea. I think he's going to be in. I can't imagine why you would not want this to replace Mambo number 5.
I think out of the three of you, the person that was most attached to Mambo was Matt, and he's in.
I'm not as high on this as you are, AJ, but it's working. Like, it's. I just worry it's going to get a little bit old. I'm not a Mets fan.
Just don't do it forever.
I'm not a Mets fan either.
Just have a
couple
run
weeks,
its course.
Couple months.
Yeah, who knows what it'll be. Hey, you know what? Maybe the Mets make a run to the series, and you just have it until...
Yeah.
And like, because it'll still get you going.
I figured now, because that's closer music, right? And this is our closer.
The closer.
We're coming in with a closer. We're not doing us a 2 or 3. Coming in. That's our closer music. Mambo number 5.
See you later.
You're retired.
Now, how long do you want me to? Because I'm going to need to keep the intro with the record scratch for next week when Lee gets back. And then maybe we can transition to just only Narco. But I think this week...
I'm cool to just not have Mambo ever again. You could do it again for Lee, but for this week, are you here next week or is it Lee? I'm here again next week.
Oh, so it's just Lee and Creature next week then.
I think it's...
I don't need to hear Mambo the rest of this week. We don't need the record scratch.
We got a split. I'm pretty sure we got a bit of a split. Where you and I do a couple of shows and you and Lee do a couple of shows, so... This one says, guys, highly recommend to check Prey on Disney+. Great movie. All right. You know what? That's the leftover five on the drive, which is
you're not even going to let me do one story?
No, because we have to at least, before we get to your story, Matt Conisvita, mention our good friends at St. Hubert Barbecue.
Yeah, chicken, ribs, hockey, fries, sauce, two types of coleslaw. For the first time ever, Nordic shrimp. They got a shrimp roll, a shrimp salad, a shrimp poutine, and all sorts of locations for you, Aaron John. My favorite, which is St. Joseph Boulevard in Orleans, in my neck of the woods. They're also on Saint Laurent, right across from the Museum of Science and Tech. Riverside and Hunt Club with the drive-through just off the highway in Rockland. You can drive through there as well. They're over in Gatineau, multiple locations, including Lever Sage's favorite, Boulevard de Maisonneuve. And if you don't feel like going to them, they will deliver right to your door, contactless delivery. Just go to st-hubert.com.
Love it. Okay. You know what? We're going to your story.
Well, the Montreal Alouettes have tweeted today. This afternoon, we're taking the air horn complaints from last week's game very seriously. If you feel like they should be banned from our stadium, please reply to this tweet. Sincerely yours, the Montreal Alouettes. How many replies do you think this tweet has?
I'm going to say 800.
How about zero? Because the Montreal Alouettes have locked the thread. And the only people that can reply are people who've been tagged in the tweet. I think this is just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. We're taking you seriously. Reply if you have a problem. Oh, you're not allowed to reply. I don't think they're taking the complaint seriously. I don't like the air horn, but I love this from the Alouette social media team. This is outstanding content. This is just phenomenal. Zero replies because they blocked them.
Well, there's a difference between the air horns, which are brought by fans, and they had a siren in preseason that was like...
Oh, the siren was horrible.
That was the worst thing ever. So you know what?
Worse than the Vuvuzelas, for sure. The Vuvuzelas you could at least kind of sort of get used to, and they were real bad. The siren, though, oh...
As long as they don't bring back the siren, I don't care what they do with the air horns. What do you think of a good air horn?
A good air horn?
Or a bad air horn?
Don't love them. It depends. You know what? I think the worst thing I can think of right now is I used to go to my little brother's hockey games. And there was this one year all the parents had like, you know, those clappers.
Yeah.
Like three hands in on that one stick or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, I watched one game from the stands. The rest were from behind the glass.
I'm not a big fan of those types of things. Thunder sticks. I'm not a thunder sticks guy.
I'm and a I big think, towel guy. I know it doesn't make noise, but
yeah,
the towel.
Yeah, make noise with your lungs. And bring objects, flags, whatever you need to do. Like anything artificial making noise.
Yeah.
Is generally a hard no to me. Not that I'm the
Unless you got
or
some trumpet or trombone.
Well, if you got a trumpet in terms of an entrance song, then yes.
Well, I mean, all even being in the crowd in Ottawa at Sens games.
Yeah.
You got time for a story? Another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you guys think of, aside, Kate, take out NHL free agency and take out Canada Day? What other thing do you think of in July 1st?
July 1st. That's what I think of.
Yeah. Nothing?
No, free agent frenzy.
Bobby Bonilla.
Oh, Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla getting paid day.
He gets 1.193, 248, and 20 cents.
How many more years?
Till 2035.
That's amazing.
So the 6-page addendum of that has been auctioned off by Bobby Bonilla. For $180,000. So one fan now owns that. And also included in that, the auction win was a signed Bonilla baseball and game used bat, a 30-minute Zoom call with Bonilla, 30-minute Zoom call with his agent, and a Bonilla NFT as well. In the future, they're going to meet up for a meal and a Mets game with Bonilla. So somebody, a fan, now owns that. Addendum. That's pretty cool.
They're going to go to the Mets game, and they're going to play the trumpet together when Diaz comes out. Awesome stuff. All right, there's the leftover five on the drive. By the way, congratulations, Chris Hernscher.
Wow!
You got yourself a new trumpet. No, you don't. You got yourself a $100 gift certificate from Lotto Max, which you can enter at tsn1200.ca to try and win. All right. That's the leftover five on the drive. Back to wrap things up in a moment here on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
All right. That does it for the show today. Dan Patrick is next. Thanks to all our good texters. Tweeters, wow. Even the good ref. You know what? The good ref just spent another 10 cents. I'm not going to read what he had to say. Oh, I don't wish good ref any ill will. I'm just not going to read his text. It's all good. Thanks to Christian Jack and Tim Baines. We're back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 6. Hope you have a wonderful Monday night.